being sick. And tonight, as you open up your Bibles, as I open mine up, let's go to the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, where we'll be reading from. Book of Romans, the 8th chapter, while you pray for just a few minutes of time as we stand before you. And I echo what Tara has sung about tonight. God is the best thing that's ever happened to us. Had a lot of good things in life that's come by our way, but nothing compares to knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and what He has done for us and given to us in this life and in the life to come. Nothing the world has can compare to it. And if you don't know Him tonight, our prayer is that you would give Him your heart and soul. And tonight, as we read our scriptures, you pray for us this evening. Book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Go with us if you would. We'll be at the end of the chapter, starting at verse 35, reading down through and including verse 39. 35 through 39, chapter 8. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for that sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's some good scripture reading. Goes right with the song tonight. And I'd like to use for a text this evening, nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. Nothing. As we read over these scriptures, there's really two messages that's here. In the first verse that we read, when he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In the Greek, that really the interpretation is that what shall keep us from loving Him? What keeps us from loving God? And then the second message is that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. His love toward us. The first part is dealing with man showing his love toward God. And we know that there are times that things come into our life and prevent us or keep us from showing God the love that we have toward Him. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll let the circumstances overshadow our love for Him. We're so focused on the circumstance, as he said here, that tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. And Paul was acquainted with all these. Yet through them all, Paul continued to show God the love that he had toward him. In fact, Paul counted an honor to be able to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. When we look at our love that we have, there are times that trials come that we have to go through, and we forget that God told us that these things would come to pass. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. There's things that come along that, as David did back in the book of Psalms in the 44th chapter, that things that happen to people in life and they blame God for it. They blame God for their failures. They blame God for the circumstances or the things that they go through. But the scripture tells us plainly that it rains on the righteous and the unjust alike. We all are going to go through times. But we should never let our love for God diminish. There are times I know of people that have blamed God. And even to the point that others have even quit going to church because of circumstances in their life. And the question comes up, Sister Ruby, who do they really love? Do they love the church or do they love God? And you ought to love the church. And you ought to love God. But some allow the local church to prevent them from showing their love to God. There is nothing in this world that ought to prevent us from loving God. No matter what we're going through, no matter how dark it may be, no matter how uncertain the future may look. I know that these things are hard, but if it wasn't for our love toward Him as well as His love toward us, we would be even in worse situation than what we already are. And we should love nobody more than we love God. That's a big statement. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love my parents. I love my church. But I am told by the God's word that we ought to love Him more than anything else in this world. Because He's the one who gave us life. He's the one who touched us and made us a newborn creature to know that we pass from death unto life. So many, when they go through, they say, if God loves me, why am I going through this? But again, when we look at it, the world has problems same as we have problems. They go through circumstances that they don't understand as well. I know this, that there is nothing that we face in life that God cannot bring us through it. Nothing that is able to separate us or should be able to separate us from God. We don't even always show Him the love, our love, like we should. When was the last time you told God you loved Him? We should do it every day. But there are times that even I've confessed it, that you get way up in the day and you think that I haven't even talked to God yet because you get so busy. And you know what the devil tries to do is he tries to sever that relationship. If he can get you focused on everything else, he will get you away from talking to God. When we look at this, we're living in a time today that I believe is like none other, to where people fall in and out of love so quickly. As long as you're doing something for them, they love you. And the moment they've just gotten everything out of your life that they can, then the love is no longer there. It's the truth, ain't it? It ain't love, but they call it love. We see that it's so easily, and this might not set too well with some, but people that are showing their love and then they fall out of love. It wasn't love to begin with. I think a lot of people get lust and love confused. Be married and then have a girlfriend. Or a boyfriend, whatever the circumstances may be, I should say. And then some that go through divorce and already, within just a matter of weeks, already have somebody new that they're in love with, head over heels. And this one here really struck me well, because some that their spouse will pass in just a short window of time, they're already remarrying. I've told the church many times, something happens to Becky, I'll probably be a bachelor for the rest of my life. Now, I'm just telling you from my heart. God may change that in the future. I don't know, but that's the way I feel now, because I don't know if anybody else can put up with me, first of all. And second of all, I don't know if I can put up with anybody else. Amen? So we see that He's telling us that there, and some of you are laughing, but it's the truth. He's telling us that there is nothing that ought to stop us from loving God. Nothing. Doesn't matter what it is, no matter where it comes from, nothing should stop us from loving God. And then he goes on to say that Paul said in verse 38 and verse 39, he said, I am persuaded that there is nothing that can keep God from loving me. Let me go back to our love toward God. You say, how can I really show God how much I love him? Jesus said in the book of John in the 14th chapter, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's no greater love than we can show back to God than us trying our best to keep his commandments and live according to his word. And I've let him down. Anybody else let him down? And I'm sure it brings into question, how much do you really love me? Sometimes people not only love people when they can get things, some people love God when it's convenient for them. I'll never forget when Desert Storm started at another church. People come in by the groves that hadn't been to church in a long time. And they came because their boys or girls got put into a war zone and they was fighting against the enemy. And these people wanted to try to say how much they love God. And if I was God, and I'm not, I would look at them and say, where have you been all this time? If you really love God, I believe you'll be found with his people in the house of the Lord. God said it like this. And let me go back, give you one more. That said, people complain and blame God. David in the book of Psalms in the 44th chapter. In the first part of that chapter, he's praising God for all that he's done. And then in the latter part of that chapter, he's saying, but where are you at, God? The enemies are coming against us. They're killing us. And yet, you're nowhere to be found. You see, sometimes, not only do we blame God, but some of the patriarchs blame God. Where are you? But as he goes forward, he says that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love toward us. God loves us regardless of where we're at or what we have done. In fact, I'll be even bolder. Nobody has loved you more than what God loves you. Nobody. Mom or dad, husband or wife, nobody loves you like God loves you. And that ought to make a church rejoice. Because not only does he say he loves us, he shows us that he loves us. How many of us have felt the love of God? And you ought not have to go back days to remember when you felt God's love come upon your life. When we look at God's love toward us, I believe that John 3:16 tells it just as plain as it can be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No greater love is there than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You know who God called his friends? Us. We are the friends of God. And then over just a few books in the book of, or same book, a few chapters in Romans 5 and 8, that God commendeth his love toward us, that yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. There's no greater illustration of love than what God shows to us. And he's saying, Paul was saying here, that there is nothing, not even in death, will God stop loving us. As long as we live, he loves us. The angels can't stop God from loving us. Neither principalities, which is satanic powers. You know, Satan comes against us. How many of y'all remember Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it? Right? You know what? Sometimes, even though we love God and God loves us, Satan will come against us to try to drive a wedge between us and God. But you know what God says? I still love him. How many of us tonight feel worthy of the love of God? I've done nothing to deserve it. All I am is a sinner that's been saved by God's grace. And it was love that saved me. He said, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, anything that was created, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can't do anything to make God love us more. Who does God love more, sinners or saints? He loves us all equally. He loves us all. When I was lost, when you was lost, God still loved you, even though you didn't love him. But God still loved you. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us less. You know, our love, if we're not careful, will allow Satan to come in and diminish it. I believe that's why there's so many broken homes. It's because Satan comes in and drives a wedge and diminishes the love that is there in that household. Rachel's not here, so I guess I can tell on her and Matt. When I met with them before they got married, my first question to each of them is, why do you want to marry him? Or why do you want to marry her? And they both had the right answer. They said, I love him so much that I want to spend the rest of my life with him. That's the illustration that ought to be in love. And I love God so much, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with him and my eternal life. And God loves me so much that he looks beyond my faults. Because what love? I'll ask you this tonight and I'll move on. I'll try not to be long-winded. How many of you love your children? How many of your children have ever let you down? We're in church. It did not diminish your love for that child. In fact, even in punishment, you loved them. Because it hurts a parent to have to punish a child. Children, when I was growing up and dad and mama tried to tell us that this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you, I didn't believe them because I was on the receiving end of the switch or the bell. But when I became a parent, I understood what they was talking about. But the Bible says, if you love the child, you will rebuke them. And God loves us and he rebukes us. He teaches us that we are the love. We are the apple of God's eye. You and I tonight. And he loves us even though at times we don't deserve the love that he shows to us. Oftentimes, God loves sinners, but he don't love their sin. He don't love their sin. He loves the soul. In fact, I believe this with all my heart, brother and sisters tonight. I believe it grieves God's heart every time a man, woman, boy, or girl has turned him away and they die and go to hell for eternity. I believe it grieves his heart because he gave them and us love beyond comprehension when he allowed Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. And when that soul, that man, woman, boy, or girl that has sinned away their days of grace, it must grieve him. While we, our love, and us, our showing of our love, I should say, fluctuates, God's love is constant. It's always constant. And y'all have heard me say this many times over the years. the love that we have toward people should never change. If anything, it should grow. And even people we love, there are times that we don't like them. Some of you say amen, because you know it's true. We may love them, but we don't like them at that time. But God looks at us and says, I love you, but I don't like the way you're living. I don't like the things you're doing. I don't like that you have forsaken the assembling of yourselves together in my house. I don't like that you're not keeping my commandments, but I still love you. I still love you. You cannot change God's love toward you and I. You cannot change it. People say, well, when I make mistakes, you mean God still loves me as much? Yes, he knew that you and I would make mistakes. God, when he saved us, he knew that we were sinners, and he knew that we have the Adam nature, and he knew that if we live long enough, we'll make our share of mistakes. But he said, I still love you, often in spite of ourselves. But tonight, we have a responsibility to show God our love toward him. And we ought not allow any of these things to stop us. No matter if it's tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Paul faced death. And he says, I'm ready to die for the cause of Christ. He loved God so much that if it took his life, he was willing to give it. And I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud. You can answer to yourself. But how many of us love God so much that if it come down to it, that we would lay down our life for the cause of the cross of Calvary? How many of us would do that? I've often said, if it came down to it, I would lay down my life for Becky or any of my kids. I would take their place willingly. I would take the place of my grandkids willingly. I would. But do we love God that much that we would say, if it took it, and I was told, or you was told, if you pronounce yourself to be a Christian, you're going to die? Would we still say, I love God? Or would we walk away and say nothing? If we really love him, we ought not allow anything. And then to close with verse 37. That there is nothing, nothing that we face in life that God cannot bring us through it and give us the victory. Look what he said in verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He loves us. And God does not want to see us fail. God wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us be victorious. But we have to do it by showing our love toward him and him showing his love toward us. And remember, I don't believe that Jesus ever met anybody that he didn't love when he was here upon the earth. And as I said in Sunday morning message, we ought to love all people, because all people have a soul. And they're going to live somewhere for eternity. Sometimes, Brother Eli, we pick and choose who we're going to love. And sometimes it has nothing to do with love at all. See, human beings are very selfish. We are. We pick and choose. When what we ought to do is say, yes, I love everybody, but I don't love their life. I don't love their sin. I don't love the things that is contrary to the Word of God. But yet, I love their soul. I love their soul. God's love never changes. Even though our love sometimes is hard to see. When people say, I love God, just follow them a little while and see if it's true or not. If you really love God, you'll be found keeping his commandments. You'll be found in his house. And you'll be found sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world that they might get saved before it's too late. Tonight, and I'm going to close. But if we look at our love and the way we show our love toward God, do you think God really knows that we love him? Or are we just giving him lip service? Actions speak much louder than words. We've all heard that. We've all heard that. Sometimes we say, oh, how I love Jesus. And then when our feet hit the floor, we're walking totally different than what we sung about. We need to put our words into action. And not just say it, but show it. I'll close with a final question. If you have people in your life that say, I love you, and they never show it to you, would you really think that they loved you? After a while, you'd say, I don't know about this. This might be a one-sided love. One-sided. And I believe sometimes in our Christian life, that's the way God must feel. You say you love me, but yet you never talk to me. You say you love me, but you're never found with me. You say you love me, but you never go in your closet. Huh? Do you really love me? Or am I just there when you need something and you call upon me? And you know, I believe this, and I'll close with this. There are times that we've all been away from God. And you know, the moment you come back to him, he doesn't rebuke you. He doesn't take the rod of chastisement to you. But I go back to the story that one sheep that was astray. The shepherd went out there. He left the whole 99. He went and he found that one, and instead of beating it back to the flock, he laid it upon his shoulder and he carried it back. I will confess, and then we'll pray. I have been carried back many times. Not that I got saved many times, but even after we're saved, there's times we've all wandered away. And God, even though we didn't know where we was at, God knew where we was at. See, if you love something, you'll keep an eye on it. Right? You'll keep an eye on it. And God, when we got to the place that we cried out for help, he came to where we was at and carried us back. Tonight, let's close with an altar of prayer. Don't let just God love you, but you need to love God equally. As much as God loves you tonight. Let's pray.
Dear Lord, I thank you tonight for your love toward us. And that, Lord, that we know that we have done nothing to deserve your love. And Lord, out of the times that we feel so unworthy, that you love us so much. Lord, I praise you tonight. I honor you, Lord.